We have two readings this morning for the text for the word of the Lord this day from the Old Testament in Exodus and from the New Testament in Matthew. Hear now the word of the Lord from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 and 7 through 12. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," he called, and he said, "Here I am." Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them from the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land to a good and a broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And he said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you, that is I who sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." Now from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. But just when Joseph had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you were able to be with us last week, you know we began a new sermon series for the weeks leading up to Lent on bedrock beliefs. And I shared with you the image that was the driving image for this, just a reminder for those who heard it, and then a heads up for those who didn't. In Birmingham, Alabama, where I did undergraduate and first graduate degree, there are iron ore places, a lot of red ore in the mountains. And when I was there doing my studies as a young woman, they were building expressways and had to blast through those mountains to build the expressways. The ore is so strong. And it's that kind of bedrock, that kind of strength I want us to have an image of as we talk about our life of faith with God. There are things that are non-negotiable that we believe, things upon which we build our life with God, upon which we grow in the love that God gives us. And so it's some of those things that we'll be looking at. Last week, it was that God was in charge. And I had many people who said, "I am so grateful that it's God and not me." And you heard me say the same thing. This week, the bedrock belief we're looking at is that God is with us. Now, I know we talk about this at Christmas, Emmanuel, and you heard part of the text that we read on one of the days of Advent leading up to the Joseph Emmanuel. But I want us to look a little, spend a little more time and see what it means there for God to be with us. And I hope you noticed that we had text from the Old Testament and the New to tie the whole book together. I love the story of Moses. There is so much there. But what I want us to lift out is the bulk of the conversation that we read today came from God, didn't it? The bulk of the words said, spoken, were from God, Almighty God. And he talked to Moses. All Moses said was try to get out of it for quite a while there. Tried to get out of what God wanted to do. But let's take a look at what God was saying to Moses. First thing I notice is that God was letting Moses know, first of all, who he was, called him by name, had the big catch his attention there with the burning bush that wasn't consumed, then called him by name, and then God told him who he was. I am the God of your father, Abraham. Just, you know, in case you're not sure, letting him know. But then what God said is so important. God said, I have observed what's going on in Egypt with my people. I have seen, I know, I have heard your cries, and I'm coming down. I'm going to deliver. Now, there may be one or two people that were here and part of a prayer service we had back in October, I think it was. It would have been the second service we had from persons within our community, not all in our church, for a young woman who is a very close friend going through some serious issues with cancer. And they asked me to share a brief devotional thought with them as they began to pray for this young woman. And this was the text God gave. That God said, I know, I have seen, I have heard, I know what's going on with my people. And I've come to, I'm going to act. I'm going to do something about it. That is, God is with us. God is telling us that God's using everything that we know of to use all of the senses to know, to see, to hear, to be present. This is a God that did not just create us and go, ah, good, good. Okay, you're on your own. I got other stuff to do. But God has known and heard and sees and hears and has come to act. Now, what may be crossing your mind is, okay, I know this story a little bit, and it seems like there was a lot going on with these people for a long time. Did it take God really that long to see, to hear, to know, to act? And we always have those questions, don't we? We always have that timing question, because the best time is like the right now when it affects us. And then we keep reminding one another, but God's timing is different. There's not always comfort in that, is it? But what I'm discovering is God's timing is perfect. It's not always my timing, what rarely is, but God's. So God has been hearing, God has been seeing, God knows what's going on with the people, and he's letting Moses know. And then something that is so amazing to me is that we know the power of the one who created everything just by saying, let there be light, and boom, there was light. The one who had just verbiage and things were created. You know that God could take care of that situation in Egypt, right? He could go in and soften that hardened heart of Pharaoh. He could get the people out of there just like that. But God chooses to use another person. God chooses to share the work, the plans that God has for saving them. And remember, they are saved so that they can be a light to the nations to bring everyone to the Lord. God chooses to use another person for this. It's an amazing, amazing way for God to be, to have that kind of love and trust and faith in us, to use us in God's plan. I think about, I'd mentioned to you that we have now we have a two-year-old in the household. Yesterday was Danny's birthday. She turned two. She'd been acting like two for a while now. No is the operative word. But what we're discovering is there's less frustration when we get her to use her words and less frustration from a two-year-old if we let her help and do, even though it's two-year-old help. We want to be involved, don't we? Even from the smallest, we want to do. We want to be. We want to do. Hey, we think of our friends we've lifted up this morning, Natasha's father, the Tanners, Kathy Walford, and the death. We want to be able to do something for others, don't we? We want to be there for them. It's part of the relationship, isn't it? Isn't it part of sharing the love and knowing and caring for another person that fulfills who we are? And how do we know to do that? From the way our God treats us. Allowing, choosing, calling us, enabling us to be a part of the plans that God has. Now, granted, most of the time we're saying, you want me to do what? Moses did, right? Moses did. But it's part of the relationship. And you heard, you know this text and the story. Even as Moses is backpedaling and everything, God says again, but I will be with you. I'm not just saying going out there and do this. I'll be with you. God is a God of relationship, a God that is involved in our lives, a God that is with us. Something else that I find interesting to note in this text in the Old Testament is where it takes place. I've learned a long time ago that the place, even the order of the books and the order of the stories, it is not just by chance. God's had a hand in all of that. Now, it takes place on the mountain now called Horeb. The name will change later and be called Sinai, because it is where they meet God. But now that mountain is called Horeb. And do you know what Horeb means? Wilderness. Wasteland. There are so few resources on this mountain. It is named Wasteland. Now we know Moses is there he's a shepherd. That's not a real fancy job for somebody that grew up in Pharaoh's house. But he's watching the sheep. Watching the sheep on a mountain that is a wasteland. That's not, now I would expect to like go to the temple, meet God, right? I would expect to walk in to a crusade or something, and that's where we'll meet God. But in on the mountain called Horeb, a wasteland, and God meets him there. Now, we know, you read later on in the Bible, go to 1 Samuel. Samuel, as a young boy, is serving in the temple, and God meets him there. So don't say God only meets us in the wasteland. God meets us in the temple, in church. God meets us in the wasteland. I think God's just going to meet us anywhere God needs to meet us. But I find it interesting that God went out of God's way to meet these people, to meet Moses, to save God's people. On the wasteland, in a place where Moses was not expecting to move him forward. And then I thought, hey, this is not the only time, this is not the last time God's going to bring a big announcement to shepherds, right? Okay, flip a few chapters over into the New Testament. Who gets the news that the Messiah has been born? Shepherds. The night shift shepherds. They get the news first. God's got a sense of humor, don't you think? God has a sense of humor. God is with us, a bedrock belief of our faith upon which we build. Matthew's gospel talks about that baby that the announcement was made to the shepherds. It's in the part of the story, as you heard, where Joseph was about to decide to quietly let Mary go. because he wasn't sure about this baby and the story of the child being born through the Holy Spirit. But the child comes, an angel comes to Joseph and kind of straightens everything out. And the parts I want to lift up from that is in the messenger. The angel is a messenger from God and tells Joseph, this child will save our people from their sins. And then he says he will fulfill what the prophet says, words from God, that he will be named Emmanuel, God with us. Old Testament, New Testament, God saying, I haven't just made you folks. I am with you. I am with you. When we think of the word Emmanuel, God with us, particularly as we look at Jesus Christ, God's Son, there are three ideas working here. First, that Jesus is God. There's this wonderful story in John chapter 14. That's a very rich chapter where Jesus is talking about, he's trying to break the news to the disciples and get them to understand that he is going to die. He will be crucified. He will rise again. This is not the end of the story, though. And one of the disciples just said, I think it's Philip. I started to say Philip, but y'all can check me later. Not now. Check later. One of them says, but just, Lord, if you just let us see God, we'll get it. And Jesus goes, oh, Philip, do you not get it? You've been with me all this time. If you see me, you see God. And I imagine Philip going, oh, okay. Jesus is God. God is with us. Just as he promised. Actually, never left. The most beautiful image of God with us that I have happens in the very beginning in the garden. It's after that apple thing, that incident with the snake. But it's when God comes in the evening to walk in the garden as God used to do with Adam and Eve, to be with them. And they're hiding. That's not the image, the part I like. But that God came. So it's like, I don't think it was a new thing. I think God was there with them all the time. God is with us. So how does that impact how we live? Adam Hamilton, in his book, The Journey, talks about the prophecy of Emmanuel, that God with us. And so does Tim Keller, who writes a book about the miracle of Christmas. And they both say that we are not awed enough that God, the creator and maker of all that is, came to be with us, put on skin. Which means that no matter where we are, what darkness we are experiencing, no matter how or what has us afraid or worried or anxious, no matter what is happening in our own personal life or in the life of the world around us, where we feel helpless, God is with us. We are not alone. And we should be more awed. Both of those pastors who write those books say, "Why? Where is our joy? Where is our excitement? Why are we not in a perpetual state of, I can't believe this?" We slip over and begin to live in, it's all up to me. But remember, God uses us to bring forth joy. And this is what I think part of the Emmanuel principle, if you will, is that God allows us to be God for others. When there's one who is grieving, we grieve with them. When there's one who is hurting, we pray with them. We want to bring them comfort and peace. When there is anxiety in the world, we are with you and I become part of Emmanuel. Maybe we should call us Emmanuel bringers. For we bring the light and the love and the grace and the hope that God gives us to the world. Sounds like what God was calling God's people to do in the first place, wasn't it? To be a light to the nations. You and I may think that we are anonymous, that nobody knows our name until we announce it. You and I may think that what we are experiencing in our life, be it good, be it bad, be it in the middle, that we are the only ones who know about it and care about it unless we voice it. But believing in, belonging to, and being people of faith means that we have a God that knows it all. Remember the Psalms, remember Isaiah, remember Jeremiah, when a multitude of ways, God says, I have known you. I look at your heart. I have known you since before you were born, while you were yet knit together in your mother's womb. You are mine. You heard the scripture that from Isaiah that Laura read. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the fire, I am there. For you are mine. God is with us. And that is the source of all of our hope. That is the source of our love. Again, in John chapter 14, as Jesus is talking to those disciples, and they're trying to get a deeper understanding of what it means for God to be with us. Jesus says, I'm about to go to die, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphaned. I will send what? The Advocate, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with you. For I know my own, and my own know me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the great good news. God is in charge. And God is with us. Glory and thanks to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen.